Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Chulin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Tet Vav. We're on the last two words of Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beit. So the last thing that we learned yesterday was that there's a general halacha of Kol She'tiavti Lecha, which is included in the pasuk of Lo Tuchal Kol Toiva. And Basar B'chalav is something She'tiavti Lecha. That started us off in a very abstract conversation about what precisely Ti'avti Lecha would include, because since it's not referring to anything specific, the Gemara takes it to be an abstraction, and that means things that are not meant to be together. That's the way that we took it initially, and we examined every last aspect of elements that are not meant to be together to understand where it would be that the Basar B'chalav and Isser of Achila or Isser of Hana, which took us to understand the din of Nevela and the heter of giving it to a goy or giving it to a ger, where that applied. But we came out that this was actually one way of understanding the Isser of Achila and Hana of Basar B'chalav, which would mean that it seems we're backing the idea of there being a general concept of Kol She'tiavti Lecha. Now, the thing is, if we're going to extend that concept into actions as well. So up until now, we took for granted that it's the item, that is to say, the mixed item that has set up this interference pattern. That's what the Keterah is against. So whether it was in terms of Kilayim, of Zroim, whether it was in terms, whether it was in terms of mating different species, whether it was in terms of shechting things on the same day, and all types of other issues we went into yesterday, we examined how the din of Kol She'tiavti Lecha would apply. Today, the Gemara wants to question whether perhaps Kol She'tiavti Lecha should also apply not to interference patterns, but just to actions. So suppose something was produced by an act that was usher, and that would be a kol she'tiavti lecha. Would that be considered to be the results of which would be usher because of kol she'tiavti lecha? Or do we say, no, wait a minute. If the item, the mixed item itself, sets up interference patterns, that's one thing. But to say that just because something was created through the agency of something that was ta'uv, that the pasuk doesn't mean. But first, we entertain the Kol She'tiavti Lecha applying to anything that was done wrong that produces something. So let's say somebody cooks a piece of meat on Shabbat. So then that piece of meat should be usher, because I told you not to do that. And so in a sense, that is a Ti'avti Lecha, and it should be prohibited. Well, says the Gemara, perhaps it would be. But we know that the Torah specifically is matir the things that are created on Shabbat. Of course, we spoke about the dinim derabbanan that answer this, and the question of whether there's katzin and shogegah to mezid, and all of those questions we had much earlier in the Masechet, the machlokas, three-way machlokas. But in any event, why would we not say that in general, forget about kanasot derabbanan, why wouldn't this be an iser d'oraisa similar to Basar B'chalav? That's because the pasuk says ki kodesh hilachem. I mean, it doesn't have to say hilachem. It says Shabbat ki kodesh lachem. So when it says kodesh hilachem, it means he kodesh vein maaseh kodesh. It's the Shabbat that is kodesh, and not the products of the Shabbat. Okay, well, let me ask you something else. You're not allowed to plow your field by hooking up different species to a plow, right? Okay, so there you've got a real interference pattern. So you've got a shor and a chamor hooked up to the same plow, and your field produces a lovely crop of wheat. Will that crop of wheat be usser because it was kol she'tiavti lecha? Or how about if you took a cow or a bull to do your threshing, and you went ahead and you were very much over on a beferish, a lav in the Torah. As a matter of fact, it is the love, which everything else is learned from, which we just had in this week's leaning, lo tachsom shor b'disho. So don't muzzle up the mouth of your ox. I suppose you did. Thus, therefore, what was produced by it, you're not allowed to eat that grain that was threshed because it was kosher tiaftilacha. Would you say that? Never heard of such a thing. Answers the Gemara, well, the answer is quite clear. If Shabbat, which is, I mean, look, that's an Isser Misa, you know, and this question of the Lotachsom Shabbatisho is only an Isser Lav. So if my Shabbat, which is much more Chomer, the Torah went out of its way to say, don't worry about what's produced by the Shabbat, even there Maaseh Mutarim, so these lesser Isuri of Lotachsom Shabbatisho or all those things are laughing for sure. Ba'asim should be mutar. Okay, how about the question of things that actually are themselves the interference? Okay, I understand. You're basically telling me that if it's not the item itself that is tiafti, then it's not a problem. Okay, so let me bring you a case where it is the item itself. The Torah said not to mix various seeds together, right? That's kelayim. So if I did, then the produce is the actual item. So why isn't that item usur for achila and hana? And therefore, if you create a hybrid fruit or you have hybrids that you've planted, it should all be usur. I never heard of that. Why is it the same of basar b'cholav? It's kosher tiaftilcha in the actual item. Well, I'll tell you, it would be, except for the fact that since the pasuk went out of its way to teach us that when it comes to kiloy hakerem, as opposed to kiloy zroim, in kiloy hakerem it says, pen tikdash hamleya, so don't have your kiloyim in your vineyard, because that would mean that you're going to end up losing whatever grew. And we darsh that word tikdash to mean the equivalent of to kad ash. It's going to have to be burned. It's going to be usur ba'anah. So since it's dafke, the kloy akerem, where the Torah said pentu kad ash, it implies that normal kelayim are not usur, because otherwise why do we need to mention it for the kloy akerem? It was already included. And Michlal, the Kloy Zroim alone are mutter. Well, no, wait a minute. We don't have to come to that conclusion. What we could say is that only Kloy Akerem are pentukad eish, meaning that they would be usur even bahana'a. But that doesn't mean that Kloy Zroim are not at least usur to eat. So we still have the lo tochal kol toeva, albeit reduced in chumrah, by the fact that only kloya kerem are usur b'hana'a, so kloya Yisrael would be usur, but not b'hana'a. Why not say that? So ema kloya kerem usurim bein ba'achila bein b'hana'a, whereas kloya Yisrael are only usur b'achila, but they're mutter b'hana'a. That explains everything. They are both kosher tiafti lecha. One of them goes all the way to Pentukad Eish, but it's mentioned in order to tell me that only the Kloya Kerem is Pentukad Eish and normal Kloy Zroim are not, and they're only Usur Ba'achila. Well, that's because there's yet another type of Kilayim, right? And that is the mixture of animals. So you can't mate different animals together any more than you could plant different species seeds together. And it's just an extension of the same idea. You're mixing seeds, essentially. So here you're mixing the actual germ cells. And that in those cases, you're mixing the germ cells of plants, or not necessarily the germ cells, but the even mixing it, as we said yesterday, through the commonality of the earth would be a mixture. So how do you tell me that would be usur? Well, remember, the Torah says over there, behemtecha lo tarbiya kilayim, and sadecha lo tizra kilayim, as if they are the same idea, which we just said, which means that it's a hekesh. The Torah is putting together mating different animals with mating different seeds. And therefore, just like behemtecha, we know that the results of mating in the cases of mammals where you produce a hybrid, we know, as we're going to prove, we know that that is okay, and you're allowed to be nene from that product. So, av sadecha ayozim imenu mutar. The point of the Hekesh is to tell me that whatever grew through the mating of different seeds would also be mutar. Why are you so sure that mating different animals, that the product is mutar? Is there a basis to that? Of course. Kiloi behema gufayu minolan. How do we know that the output of kelayim of different mammals is okay? Because since the Torah had to tell me, bina usar achmana kelayim begavoa. So remember, we learn out from the din of shor o kesef o eis, that the fact that it says o means that specifically these species and not hybrids of these species, they are meant to be brought biyom hashmini v'hala, which means that a hybrid from these species will not be acceptable as a korban lashem, right? So then, if I need to say that for Hegdash, it's obvious that it's not usur for you and me, because if it were, it would automatically be usur for Hegdash, as we know. Anything that is usur lahedyet is usur lagavoa, and that's mashke Yisrael. So why would the Torah have to specify an isur of a hybrid for a korban? And therefore, it must be b'chlata lahedyet shari. So that would mean that it would be mutter for you and me. Okay, how about oto ve'et b'no? How about if I went ahead and I did shecht oto ve'et b'no? So why don't we say that the one, that the actual item that I was over on the lot, and I shechted it on the same day as I shechted the mother, it should be usur? Well, oto ve'et b'no, if you think about it, is effectively mechusar zman, correct? Now, if the Torah needed to tell me mechusar zman for Hegdash, and this is a mechusar zman, you're going to have to wait till the end of the period in which the mother had been shechted, the end of that day, until you would be allowed to shecht. So if you shechted before, it would be usur because it's mechusar zman. But mechusar zman is a psul, particularly on Hegdash. And therefore, if there's a din of mechusar zman for Hegdash, it means that the concept of mechusar zman, when it comes to hedyot, to me and you, is okay. All right. How about shiluach haken? So let's talk about a case where somebody, the simple idea here would be, somebody takes some eggs or chicks away without sending the mother away, right? Now, in doing that, he was over on the iser of lo sikacha em al habanim. So he went ahead and he did take the mother and the chicks. So now what's the din? He has to send away shaleach to shalach. If he was over on that, he now has a chiyuv to send it away. Okay. But then that means, having once been usur, it should be forever usur, because you were over on that isur. That's how you have it. And now it should be forever usur to eat that bird, because I told you not to take that bird. And yet, we know that there is no isser on the bird itself. Never heard of that, but why not? Well, that's because if the Torah told you to send the bird away, how could it be usser? Would the Torah tell you, send the bird away, and then the next door neighbor is going to find the bird and is going to shecht it and eat it, and has absolutely no way of knowing that this was a bird that was usser because of kosher ti'afti lecha? So the very fact that the Torah says send it away is lo amra Torah shalach letakala. Now that was a concept that we had in the Tzipore Mitzora as well. So it's a general principle which therefore merits a wave of Gavi's magic wand. Lo amra Torah shalach letakala. So we now have two applications of that din, and one is the shiluach haken could not be usur because of ti'afti lecha, because otherwise the Torah wouldn't have said, send it out so your neighbor could be over on an isur. And we learned the same idea on the tzipurei mitzora, one of which is dipped in the blood of the other and sent out. It must be that it's mutter, because even though it had initially was connected together with the other one for that purpose, it means that once it's sent out, it becomes mutter. Anyway, we have now completed our first approach to Basar B'Cholov's source of Isser in terms of Achila and in terms of Hana'ah. And we also had a brief glimpse of Trevor this morning, which was made us all very happy, but then he went back into hiding. So, there we go. Okay. We know he's still there, and that keeps us moving. And so, do we have any other bases? We do. Amar Resh Lakish, I'll tell you where I know that Basar B'Cholov is Aser. This is another one of the Gemara's amazing abstractions. And that is, did it ever occur to you that boiling things together is a problem because they're boiled? Well, try to think of a case. Is boiling something going to make it usher? Yes, indeed. If it's a carbon Pesach, boiling makes it usher. What? That's crazy. Well, there you go. So we've already seen that the Torah considers something boiled to be usher b'hana'ah if you weren't supposed to boil it. Well, that's wild. Okay, so if you boiled your carbon Pesach, you can't eat it, can you? It becomes usher b'achila, and since it's kashrim, it's usher b'hana'ah. So that does it. Minayin labasar b'cholav sha'asur. Talmud lomar, al tochlo mimenu no bashel mevushal b'mayim. The Torah says, don't eat your carbon Pesach once it's been boiled. Now, why do you think it mentions bashel mevushal, boiled? What's the boiled? Aha! Ah, she'en talmud lomar mevushal. Ma talmud lomar mevushal. What's this extra boiling? Lomar lecha, yesh bishul acher shu kazeh. There's another kind of bishul that also will aser. And what was that? The one that you weren't allowed to do. And that's basar b'chalav. This is all very nice, says Rabbi Yochanan to Resh Lakish, his favorite adversary. But what was so bad with what you know Rebbe taught us? Is there something wrong? I mean, do you have to prove yourself? And Ku'ura Zu Shoshana Rebbe, was there something ugly about Rebbe's beautiful drasha that Resh Lakish has got to go ahead and once again be the odd boy out on the block and get himself a whole new basis? Rebbe taught us, Lo Tochelenu, since it says specifically, but yeah, the Iser Dam for the umpteenth time, Lo Tochelenu, which was obviously not for the Tzorach of the Dam. Remember, that was the source of Dam Kachim, Lo Tochlenu ala Aretz, Tishpachenu Kamayim, and so on. So, Rebbe said that extra pasuk, Tochlenu, is not the reference to the Dam, it's the Ineno Inyan. It's a reference to Basar B'Cholav, which we were never told what to do with. So, when it says Lo Tochlenu, unnecessarily, it means that is a reference to Basar B'Cholav, and here's where the Torah is letting us know, don't eat it and throw it out, and you're not allowed to be nene from it. It's Basar B'Cholav. Now, Rebbe himself went on to say, well, that sounds sort of random to me. And he says, Basar B'Cholav, might it not be some other Isser in the Torah? O'eno ela be'echad b'kol Isserim sheb'Torah? No, of course not. Because remember, one of the Yud Gimel Midot, Tzeh Ulamat, Mishlosh Yisrei Midot Shatorah Nidreshet Bahen, one of those very important ones, was the rule that you must first examine the context in order to know the application. And that's called Davar HaLamed Me'inyano. All things have to be learned only within context. So tell me, what context were we talking about? This is another absolutely wild abstraction. This, all of these dapim, Dr. Barry, you're going to have to catch up on yesterday's daf. It's really wild, something that's mind-expanding in terms of how Chazal abstract the ideas. So now, what is the context? What would you say the context is? It certainly isn't this. The context is you're talking about things that are mixtures. I was? I could have sworn I was talking about the Dam of Psulei HaMukdashim. Where's the mixture? Well, Psulei HaMukdashim is a mixture, isn't it? I mean, after all, the Torah says, HaTameh VaHaTohor Yachtav Yochlenu KiTzvi V'Cha Ayal. Isn't the Tzvi and Ayal a mixture? So that means that Psulei HaMukdashim is actually a mixture of two different species. Okay? And if you don't like that mixture, you can take Rashi's mixture. It's partially Kodesh and partially Chol, because look, it's Kodesh in the sense of being Osur Begizav Avoda, and it's Chol in the sense that you're allowed to eat it and it's HaTameh VaTohor Yachdav. So obviously we're talking about a mixture of two types of things. So if that's the case, then the only other mixture of two types of things that we haven't been told what to do with is referring to Basar B'Cholov. Av kan b'shnei minim. That's what Rebbe said. And I think Rebbe's pshat was really beautiful. And you're making it look ugly by saying you need to have this new idea, the Reish Lakish idea, which is a whole new concept of learning it out from Korban Pesach and Bashel Mevushal. Says Reish Lakish, I'll tell you why I didn't rely on what Rebbe taught us. Because if that were the Mokar, I would have said, yes, indeed. But that's only a reference to eating. So hani mile ba'achila? I wouldn't know that it was even osur ba'hana'a, because I don't agree the idea that just because not eating is mentioned, that any place that it says not eating, that was Rabbi Abo's halacha, that komokom shenema lo tochal, or so on and so forth, it, by definition, includes an isra hana'a. But we know for a fact that there is no isra hana'a, and that's a special pasuk that the Gemara darshins in Psachim that tells us that there is no isra hana'a, because it says lo tochlenu ala aretz tishbechenu kemayim. Is mayim osur b'hana? No. So the Torah specifically says it's to be compared to water. And if that's the case, I needed to find a place that it would include the isra hana'a, because Rebbe was only teaching us that it would be asur b'achila from that extra idea of lo tochlenu. That's why I needed to go to the story of Bashel Mevushal by the Korban Pesach, because over there, indeed, as kachim would be asur b'hana'a. Wow. So how come Rebbe wasn't nervous about that? Rebbe said that you can learn it out of lo tochlenu by dam, but you know, you got a point. B'hana'a min alei. How would we know that that is also an isur hana'a? I don't understand. Well, he knows that from the very pasuk. Now, this is another incredible abstraction. Absolutely amazing. It's obvious that if homosexuality is osur, eating basar b'cholov is osur b'hana. Absolutely. It's as clear as daylight. Okay. How do we get to that? Well, look. It says in the pasuk, b'nogea basar b'cholov, it says that specifically the idea is ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha lo tevashel gedibecha levimo. You are a holy people. But the word kadosh is also used to refer to a male prostitute, kadesh, right? So that would mean, since it says this is kadosh, and since it says lo yiyeh kadesh b'bnei Yisrael, so obviously, what is the iser of this male prostitute? Eating? There's no iser in eating a male prostitute, but there's an iser of having fun with a male prostitute. So that would be an iser hana'a. So obviously, there's an iser hana'a on basar b'cholov. Wow. Absolutely amazing. So mala halan b'hana'a. Afkan bahana'a. So the thinking is totally abstracted. There's almost no physical reality in any of these dapim. They're just almost on a quantum level, these kind of forces that are interrelated. Okay, here's another marker for the iser of basar b'cholov. Devei Rebbe Eliezer says, since it introduces the whole thing with lo tochlu kol nivela, and it says, at the end of the lo tochlu kol nevela, what were you told to do with the nevela? Well, it's Lagera Shebisharecha Titzneno, or the Machor Lenochri, and then it ends with Lotavasher Gedi Bechalev Imo. So what does that have to do with the Loto Kalkona Veva Mochrena Lenochri? Ah, it's saying if you want to sell it to a guy, don't cook it in milk. Well, why not? Because once you cook it in milk, you can't sell it to the guy, because then you're making money off of it, and then you would be getting hana'ah from it. So then obviously the pasuk is saying that it's asur b'hana'ah. So kisha timkirena, lo tevashlena v'timkirena. Don't cook it first and then sell it, because that would be asur. And the source that we know so well is the Devei Rebbe Yishmael. Devei Rebbe Yishmael, Tana, since the Torah says lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo three times, one of them is an Israchila, one of them is Israna, and of course the basis is lo tevashel, and one of them is that Isser Bishol. And so because of that, it's the Mokar that we use is the Brisa of Rebbe Yishmael. Tanya is another fascinating mocker, which is Isi ben Yehuda. Isi ben Yehuda Omer, where do we get the idea that basar v'chalav is osur? It only says lo tevashel. Ne'amar kan ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha, lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. And then we have a similar statement when it came to treifa. Because it said there, Va'anche Kodesh Tiyunli, Ubasar Besada Trefa Lotochelu. So that means we have Xerishava, just like by Trefa. It says Beferish that being an Am Kadosh means you can't eat it. So to hear by Basar Bechalav, it means you can't eat it. Ah, but wait a minute. That only tells me you can't eat it. But where do you know that you're not allowed to get any Hana'ah from it? Well, that is actually, once we know that you can't eat it, so then we have a kal v'chomer. Because, look, Orla. Now, nobody did anything wrong in order to produce Orla. Orla is just the state that you have on fruit that has grown in the first 3 years of after planting a tree. And yet, it's osur b'hana'ah. Despite the fact that there was no avera that was committed, it has nothing to do with a toeva, kosher ti'afti l'cha, that's for sure. So it's osur b'hana'ah. So kosher came basar b'chalav, where not only did the Torah tell you that this is something that's osur, but you went ahead and you were over that bishul. So then isn't it obvious that it is going to be just as osur as orla is? And therefore, I could learn it out from a kal v'chomer from Orla. But what do you mean? It's not the same at all. Orla was never kosher. Remember the idea of basar b'chalav is that you're taking two items, both of which are complete heter, and you're telling me that because I cooked them together, now all of a sudden they become usher to eat. I mean, that's crazy. So you want to learn it out from Orla. I mean, Orla was something that, as it grew, was always usher. Okay, so I can say I understand that. It hasn't been given into the hands of humans to be nena from yet. But basar b'chalav, having once been mutter b'hana'ah, you need to show me that it becomes usher b'hana'ah, and you haven't shown me that. So Orla can't prove anything because lo hayta la sha'ata kosher ever. Whereas basar v'chalav did have a sha'ata kosher. That's the whole point. And therefore, why would we say that for sure that's asur b'hana'ah? On the contrary, you're trying to change the status quo, right? So maybe you can't do that. Well, now that is not a question. Just because something was once mutter does not tell you that there's an inertia for it to stay mutter. I mean, what about the concept of chametz b'pesach? Here you've got something that was completely mutter just 1 minute ago, and now all of a sudden it becomes usher. So, apparently, the fact that something is mutter doesn't mean it can't become Asur Bahana'ah. And he'd had a Sha'ata Kosher, and it became Asur Bahana'ah. So apparently that's not much of a problem. So even though Basur B'Cholav was Mutter at one point, maybe it became just as Asur as Chametz B'Pesach, now that we have the Kal V'Chomer, that doing something wrong would certainly make something Asur. Yeah, but Chametz B'Pesach, I mean, that's a super duper Isser. Chametz B'Pesach is an Isser Karet. So maybe that's why it changes even the status quo and it makes it Asur even B'Hana'ah. So Malach Chametz B'Pesach, Shetein Anush Karet. Yes, that's true. But now let me bring in yet another element into this mix. Because if you add Kaloi HaKerem, now look, Kloy HaKerem is not an Isser Karet, and it's still Asur B'Hana'ah, right? So you see that just because it's the Isser Karet, that is not the basis for the fact that something that was kosher becomes Asur. So therefore, the same thing should be true about Basur B'Cholav. You're right. There is no Isser Karet, and nonetheless, we've got a problem. I could see that look in his eyes. The look in his eyes, he's about to do a disappearing act. You see, it's like sort of like toilet training. You can figure out, you know, okay, so I'm getting very sensitive. Now he's in trouble. Was I right or was I right? Not bad, huh? Yes, indeed. Yes, sir. This Zoom, I feel, gives you much better control of the classroom. You got a close-up. No good. Well, it was great having you. So, if I prove from Kaloi HaKerem, where you don't have an Isser Karet, and nonetheless you have an Isser Hada'ah, so put it all together, and you have a proof. Now, this is very messy. What we had to bring all of these weird things to prove points where we could have gone back and forth and made a tzad hashava. And the point right now is that the Gemara is going to examine abstractly the rules of a tzad hashava, which is something that we've never done before and is absolutely unique here to this sugya, in which we go through the Kabbalah that we have about how common denominators work in terms of Isurim and what information can be used to argue against a conclusion of a common denominator. And it's going to turn out that the reason that we brought in all of these various things where we actually could have gone back and forth, and instead, we've got this complex limud that requires Kiloi HaKerem, Chometz B'Pesach, learning from Orla. I mean, this is like a very complicated limud, and it certainly didn't have to be as complicated as you made it. And so the Gemara is going to ask, why didn't we just go back and say that Orla can be mochiach, that you don't have an Isser Karet? Why did we bring in something new to prove that Isser Karet isn't the secret? If Orla is Asur B'Hana'ah without an Isser Karet, all we needed to do was say, Hatzad HaShava Shebehem, the Isser Karet isn't critical, and therefore, it's obviously not the issue. So, the question now is, we started this whole limud. Remember, this is the limud of Isi Ben Yehud. We first learn it because of this Gezerah Shava, which in fact was from Anshei Kodesh, and we said, okay, Basur B'Sada Treifa, and then we just started worrying about what to do in terms of Hana. But why did we start with the Gezerah Shava at all? If you're going to have to come on in the end to a Kal V'Chomer, why don't we just go straight to the Kal V'Chomer from Orla? So, Lamal Gzeira Shava, why did we have to start with, well, it's definitely Asur B'Achila. I know that from Treifa. Start directly from Orla. So, Lamal Gzeira Shava, Laite Kule B'Kal V'Chomer Mi Orla, and just say, Ma or la shalon evda ba'avera sura ben ba'chila ben ba'na'ad. Straightforward limud. Orla is everything that we were looking for in life. An isra chila, an isra hana, just what we're looking for. And nobody did anything wrong. So, kal v'chomer, bazer b'cholam, shenevda ba'avera, so for sure, eino dinja aser ben ba'chila ben ba'ana'a. I don't understand what you gained by first establishing from the posik that made now the limud of Anshei Kodesh from Treifa. Why did we have to start? Well, that's because I might have been able to show that the fact that you did something wrong is not a basis for answering it, because after all, didn't we see before that if you do Harisha with a Shor v'chamor, or if you were over on Lotachsom Shor b'disha, and you went ahead and you were Chosein Pipara, and you went and you did the Disha. Well, over there you did an Avera, and nonetheless, whatever comes out of that is kosher. So maybe the same thing is true with the Basar B'chala. Even though you did an Isra with them, maybe nonetheless, they are kosher. So it turns out that we should have brought directly, instead of the, once we establish that it's Usr, now we can learn it out from Orla, but we should have gone back to Orla when we asked, how about Chometz B'Pesach? Maybe is also only because of the Yisr Karet. And what the Braita did to, or the Limud did to, was saying Kloya Kerem is Bochiach. But why did Isi Ben Yehuda say Kloya Kerem Yochiach when he could have just said Orla Tochiach? So I don't understand. Couldn't you have just gone straight back and made a Ma'atzad? Which introduces yet a third issue. Why not just say Orla Tochiach? So if you get it back and forth from Chometz B'Pesach, which did have a Shata Kosher, and then if that is because of Karis, Orla Tochiach, if you'll say Orla, well, Orla never had a Shata Kosher, Chometz B'Pesach Tochiach, Atzad HaShava Shebeneyam, that they would be Osir Bachila and Osir Bana'a. You made it unnecessarily complicated. On Rav Ashi, you could not have learnt out a Ma'atzad from Orla and Chometz B'Pesach. Why? Because I could have shown you that the conclusion of that Ma'atzad is not correct. Because according to that, you should have seen that Nevela is also Asr, and yet a Nevela is only Asr Bachila, and the Torah went out of its way to tell you that it is Mutter Bahana'a. So you see that just because something became Asr from your original Hekesh to Treifa does not give you a right to make a Kavachomer from Orla, because then why was Nevela kosher? Nevela also should not be kosher Bahana'a. So here you see that the results of that Ma'atzad are illegitimate. So Mishum Dikla Mema Nevela Tochiach, Shasura Bachila Umuteret Bahana'a. So therefore, if we had only a two-way Tzad Hashava, we would be able to raise a proof against it from a similar situation that did not end up with the same solution. However, now that we've got a three-way Tzad HaShava, and we introduce Kloy HaKerem, apparently a three-way Tzad HaShava cannot be attacked by a similar situation where we have a different halacha. So there are two ways. Think of the concept of Ma'atzad. There are two ways of attack a Tzad HaShava. One of them is by finding a different common denominator, which may be the reason, and therefore you can't apply it to this new thing, which doesn't share that common denominator. So that's the normal way of attacking a Tzad HaShava, where we say, Ma'la Tzad HaShava Shebem Shekein and then we postulate a new tzadashav. Well, both of these things share a different chumrah that gives us this din, or a different kula that gives us this din, whatever. So in finding a common denominator that this doesn't share, you just ruin the common denominator. That's obvious. But this is a completely different way of attacking a tzadashava. You're saying if this logic were correct, it would have applied to an avela too. That's what you're saying. And somehow it doesn't apply to the avela. And that proves from the outside, not from the inside. It's an outside issue that shows us that the conclusion is not correct. Now the Gemara is going to examine when we are allowed to bring in an outside element to disprove a tzad hashava, and when we are not. So, Omar le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi. Actually, you're wrong. Because you said we can say nevela tochiach, but we would not have been able to say nevela tochiach, because as far as I know, what is quoted in the name of Reish Lakish is that a common denominator, a mahatzad, can only be attacked from within its own internal logic and not from something external. So, ko mahatzad mi gufo parchinan, mi alma lo parchinan. We're not allowed to bring in an outside piece of information, such as, well, nevela doesn't have that din, even though it would have shared the same logic. That's from the outside. There's nothing wrong with the common denominator. We're just showing that the Torah doesn't approve of our conclusion because it would have applied the same conclusion to nevela. But you can't ask that. You can only ask, according to Reish Lakish's Kabbalah of the Dinim, which Rashi says is all the original Kabbalah of these Yud Gimel Midos, that is from Moshe Mi-Sinai. This is the only way that it works. Mi-Alma lo parchinan. Okay, well, I mean, if that's true, so then why can't we have just the Mahatzad? You have it explained to me, then, why we need to bring in Kaloi HaKerem, which is bringing in a third irrelevant issue. Well, no, actually, we said it wrong. If you only had the two things in the Mahatzad, then you would have been able to bring another Mahatzad. The other mahatzad is both of these things, orla and chametz, both of them are agricultural from the ground products, whereas meat and milk doesn't grow from the ground. Now, who cares? You might as well say that the reason that we can't learn out from them is because orla and chametz bePesach have a common density, but Basar B'Cholav has a different density. I mean, who cares? Or you could have said, Basar B'Cholav has a different color than Chometz and Orla. You know, it's meat colored. I mean, who cares? I don't understand. But what's the difference if it grows from the ground or not? I thought the point of a Mahatzad is that you're arguing from the relevant issues that would be Gorim the Isser. What is critical to the Isser? So you're telling me something is Chayiv Koris. Okay, that is a reasonable thing to say that that is Gorim the Isser. But to tell me it's colored red? Who cares? Or to tell me it grows from the ground? That's irrelevant. Now, what this is called is the idea of actually Koldahu. Koldahu means you are pointing out a common denominator that does not seem to provide a meaningful reason for the Isser. It simply is a shared common denominator. So now the question is, if the entire basis of a halacha is the common denominator, then what is the meaning of throwing in some common denominator which doesn't seem meaningful in terms of Isser? Is it actually a valid way of attacking a common denominator? So this raises a different issue. First, we asked, can a common denominator be shown to be false by bringing in a third issue from the outside? Me alma, okay? So we said, you cannot ask me alma. This is a rule which is a Gavi rule. A mahatzad me alma lo parchina. You can't argue with a mahatzad just because you have an external piece of information where that mahatzad did not apply in the Torah. That's irrelevant. You are meant to use a mahatzad to be able to derive a halacha, and it doesn't matter that there are other places where that derivation wouldn't have applied. However, the reason that we're saying over here that we cannot have a mahatzad from Orla and Chometz together is because I would have been able to say, Mahatzad ha-shava shebehen sheken gidulei karka. They all grow from the ground. Now that, again, is a koldu. So if you can ask that, what good is adding the din of Kaloya Akerem? Kaloya Akerem also grows from the ground, right? So if you're able to ask that type of issue, well, maybe the common denominator is that they're purple polka dots. Maybe the common denominator is that they grow from the ground. So you haven't changed anything by adding Kloya Kerem. So you just, okay, here's another thing that grows from the ground. If you want to have a raya that would be enough to help us, you're going to have to bring something that doesn't grow from the ground. And that's Osir Bana. So what good is Kloya Kerem? Hashtanami ikla mifrach. Malik Loya Kerem sheken gedulei karka. You haven't added any new information. That is the brilliant difference. Another Gavi rule that was given over by Reish Lakish is that a mahatzad, a simple mahatzad, you can ask any kind of common denominator, koldahu, whatever it is. And that would mean that we're gonna fix this up in a minute, because if the way that we have it first, it doesn't fit the sugya. So when you say lo im amrit, which is an attack on the actual mahatzad, lo im amrit, if you're going to teach me this, you can't learn it from here because that is something that is, you can't learn here because this is more chomer. The only thing you can attack that argument with is something that is easier or harder, depending on whether you're learning a kula or a chumra. So you can say, no, not if you learn it from there because it's an isakaris. Okay, that's a chumra. But you can't say, not if you bring me the case of chametz bepesach because it grows from the ground. That doesn't bother me. Kol de'lo parchina. So therefore, if we have in this case a common denominator that's a kol de'lo parchina. Yeah, I understand. But we could put them all together and make a common denominator. And a common denominator we can ask koldu, you said. You see, I don't understand what you're bringing me from Reish Lakish. V'lifrech l'kulo. I would say Orla, Chometz, Kilayim. Share the common denominator that they are all grown from the ground. And therefore you can't learn out the din of Basar B'Cholav, which doesn't grow from the ground. What am I missing here? Because I said it over on Ella Amarle, Rav Mordechai, Rav Ashi. What Rav Mordechai had explained, we left out the main part, is because what it was that he actually explained was that in the event that you have three things, then you cannot ask from a common denominator of koldu. So basically, it's that chada mi-chada, you're learning one thing from another thing. Okay, so then it's straight out logic. This thing is different because it's this more chomer. This thing is different because it's more kal. It has to be directly attacking the basis of the limud. So kal, chomer, that you can ask. But you can't say, well, maybe this is different because it grows from the ground, or maybe this is different because it's orange with polka dots. I mean, it's irrelevant. So there, for sure, you cannot ask koldu. If you're learning a tzad hashove of deriving one thing from two things, so let's say that we were going to learn out basar b'cholav from chometz b'pesach and orla. So then you can even ask a common denominator that is not kal and not chomer. It's koldu. They both grow from the ground, okay? So who cares? Well, that's the rules. If there's anything at all that provides a common denominator, then you don't know whether there's some hidden element that may be therein that makes it impossible to have a derivation of a third thing. But if you've got a three-way mahatzad, in one thing that's learned from three ways, the only way that you can ask a kol dehu is if it was hadar dina va'asi b'mahatzad. If you now had a real question on the third item, and you would say, no, this is different because it's kal, this is different between a chomor, and therefore, in the end, you would have needed to have a tzad hashava that would include all three items. Then indeed, since you're looking at a pure tzad hashava, then you would be able to say, well, these things are all purple polka dots. But if you don't need to go back and to make a mahatzad with the new thing that you brought in, so you brought in kloyak kerem, did you need to say, Malak Layakaram Shekain X, and then go back and say, Chometz Pesach Yelchiach? No. So you didn't need to go back again. If you didn't need to go back again, then once again, you're talking about logic. You're not talking about common denominators. So if you had a third item, such as Kaloya Karam, you would actually not be able to ask a Kol Dehu. Kula V'chumra, you could ask, but Kol Dehu, lo parchinan. And therefore, we learned it out from Kloya Karam. Okay, so then if you don't mind, I will, however, as I told you, I want to go over the dinim of not bar not, which we keep putting off. And even though we've got a lot of our own knots, but we'll think more about the Gemara's not bar not. Okay, so remember that what we were talking about was specifically not bar not is only meaningful if there is a tam in the first place, which means that it cannot refer to any case of notain tam livga. That's the first thing we have to remember. The only time that it would be relevant even to a notain tam livgam was where? If it's a davar charif. So it's Richie's favorite onions. Now, the question is, if you did anything with those onions, would it also still be harif? Let's say you fried the onions. But fried onions, harif, that's a machlokas. But if you've got a raw onion, and it was used here in this fish meat plate mixture, that would turn the noisin tam livgam into a tam l'shevach. That's the one time that we would need to define the tam as still extant, even though it was after the 24-hour period in which we generally consider something to be irrelevant as tam. That's the first klal. The second klal of not bar not is that we only talk about not bar not in terms
of... Maybe mention the daf where we saw this.
It was all of the dafim until Friday. Oh, man. This was a long story on not bar not. Okay, this was started with the question of the fish in the meat plate, and then we went on discussing the various levels of not bar not ourselves. So this is the first two issues can't be a not bar not, which is not a not. There needs to be a noticing tom. So it can't be a tom that was lit gum, unless it's a dover harf. It also cannot be a noticing tom li isura. We're only talking about not bar not of heter. There's no way that because you first cooked a piece of bacon in this pot, and you're going to say, well, now it's only a nosein tam of the bacon in the pot, and the nosein tam that comes out into your kosher meat is not going to answer your kosher meat. And that's fundamentally wrong. The concept of a notain tam not being meaningful in the event that it was only a not bar not is limited to something that is not usser. So we don't pay much attention to it. Once it's usser, then it simply ussers the thing that it went into. And we explained that means that even as it comes out, it's heter. So therefore, let's say you cooked meat in a pot, and now you cook milk in that pot. So you're going to say that if the taste of the meat comes out from the pot into the milk, it's not going to answer it because it's not banat. Why? Because that is called not banat the isura. Even though when it became not banat, the first stage was not isura, but since the second stage was not banat directly into the milk, therefore we call that not banat the isura. So it can't be a not banat the isura. That's the second important yesod. The third important yesod is where you get into the big machlokas between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim. And I think just in order to wake Tzuri up, we need to show him Ori's new pigtails, and that will definitely turn him on, and because of that, we'll have his full attention. Although, of course, it might be on Ori. But in any event, the third very important point is that not barnat is only kosher bidi avad. You can't go ahead and make a not barnat and say, okay, it doesn't matter for me to use this plate because anyway, whatever is going to be cooked in it is only going to be a not barnat, so I should be able to go ahead and use it. You can't do it lechatchila. But the question is, what does lechatchila mean? According to the Sephardim, it means lechatchila include, you could only use it b'di avad. So what if you already cooked the fish in the pot? Is that b'di avad? Or, well, I mean, who's telling you got to eat it together with the milk? Maybe you shouldn't eat it with the milk. So it's still only lechatchila. That's the way the Ashkenazim learn b'di avad. It's only b'di avad after it's been mixed. So if you take the fish and you mix it in the kutach, you take the fish and you melt some cheese over it, okay, it's too late. Now you can eat it because you already mixed it. That's what the Ashkenazim hold. But the Sephardim hold, if you already cooked the fish in the pot, well, you already did it. So you might as well go and eat it with the milk and enjoy it because it's already been done. So that is the difference between the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim on the third fundamental point of not barnat. And that is, what do we mean when we say not barnat is only kosher bidi avad? And so we also will have this question of not barnat binogea, the question bichlal of parva things. You start off, here we were talking about parva foods. What about parva kalim? What happens with parv kalim that you used for something that was milchic or something that was fleshy? So here, for sure, if it's cold, okay, we're not talking about this whole issue, is a question of if it was able to be absorbed. To be able to be absorbed, we were talking about melicha, we were talking about bishul, but you could certainly go ahead and use something parv for something that's cold. There's nothing wrong with putting a cold piece of meat, a cold piece of cheese, onto a parva plate and then wash it off because, how can you do that? Maybe the next person will use it while it's still dirty. We never achoshet for use where it's still dirty unless it's a knife. Kalim in general are clean. The only time that we have a chayish that we spoke about is shamnunis of a sakin, and that's because you don't see that dirt. And it sticks to the knife because of the pressure, and therefore a knife needs to be specifically cleaned. But if you're talking about a plate or a pot, people don't put back dirty plates. They wash them first. Therefore, we don't have a chashash that the actual meat or milk will be a problem. So therefore, people get all hung up on things that they shouldn't be hung up on. Let's say you've only got one beater in your mixer. You know, can you use that beater for something milchix and then use it for something fleishix? Yeah, why not? There's no problem because it's going to be cleaned anyway. And again, if it's parv, it doesn't become fleshix or milchix unless you either cook it or you leave it to be kavush. What does kavush mean? Leaving something in storage, even for in the same container for 24 hours. If you took one of those plastic containers and you filled it with meat, you can, and it's left there all week, and now you want to just wash it out after all it was in the fridge and it's cold. You want to just wash it out and fill it up now to be your butter container. No, 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 that you can't do. But that's because kavush areyu kemavushal. And that's because basically you are cooking it. So that is the abstract way of understanding the points that you're going to have to take into consideration when you're dealing with not bar not. And as I say, there's a lot of racial discrimination here based on how you understand bidi avad. And in classic Ashkenazic fashion, nothing is bidi avad until the fat lady sings. If there's some way to avoid it, you have to be machmer to avoid it. And in classic Sephardic fashion, well, it's already been done. Okay, so put that all together and you end up on your own being able to make a clear-cut flowchart. And make up your own flowchart about where you'd have to worry about the thing that was put into a fleshika dish. First, you're going to have to decide, was it hot? Then you're going to have to decide, was it a ben yoma? Then you're going to have to decide, was it harif? Then you're going to have to decide, was it already mixed? Then you're going to have to decide, am I a Sephardi or an Ashkenazi? It's always good to have two separate birth certificates in these circumstances. And with that, we finish our Daf Yomi, and Bezrat Hashem, look forward to see you tomorrow. Hope that was clear.